The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. Not too bad.
Hanging in there.
Yep, doing all the best I can on a Monday morning.
Yeah, those Monday mornings.
I know all about those things. We have no choice. Here they come and here they are.
Yeah.
Although we got Freedom Rings, which always brightens up my Monday morning.
It's always a lot of fun, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely fun. Interesting, too.
Fun and entertaining and hopefully educational.
Yes.
And hopefully persuasive too.
We'll do the best we can, huh?
That's one of the goals of this program is to persuade people on the efficacy and moral basis of freedom, individual freedom,
mm-hmm.
which is getting, of course, as we report every week, worse and worse in this country. Now, we used to have at least this concept in America that, which de Tocqueville in Democracy in America really presented in a very, in a manner. You know, the ideal of America was this federalism thing where you had all these states in the Union that were really separate sovereign states. And they were laboratories of democracy, mm-hmm. we put it. Now, before people get all their hair up, I understand this country is not a democracy. It's based on a constitutional republic. But I'm just saying what de Tocqueville would say, and it's used in its loose term, not in the strict term, that democracy really is the most vile form of government since it's majority rule, and a majority rule could just convict somebody to death for some reason. So we're not talking about that kind of democracy. But at any rate, it was supposed to be these laboratories of democracy where, you know, you'd see what would work, what wouldn't work, and then states could replicate what one state was doing successfully. And also, people could vote with their feet. If a state wasn't operating well, he moved to another state,
mm-hmm.
and not have to live in the mess that the previous state you're in might have been in. For example, if a state profligately spends themselves into virtual bankruptcy, you could move to another state where the fiscal situation wasn't so bad. Well, the last vestige of that type of freedom, in effect, in this country is now gone. Because what we have now is the federal government printing money, which is just stealing money from everyone by watering down the value of the dollar. Printing money and then just giving it to states that have been acting the worst fiscally irresponsibly. For example, California, Illinois. And can't pay their teachers, can't pay the policemen or the fire department. So the government just prints money, waters down our value, and gives it to the states that have been behaving badly. So what incentive is there for a state to be fiscally sound if the federal government's going to be bailing them out all the time? And here we just had this over the last past week. Congress just passed another, I don't know, what was it? You know, trillions, billions. That was like $25 or $50 billion that went directly to the states to pay for teachers because their financial situation in those various states have been such a mess that they couldn't pay. Well, maybe they should start cutting spending in those states, not hitting everybody else in the country for more money. The whole concept of a state becomes meaningless when the United States starts paying for the bad behavior of various states. And doing so, not even with money that exists, but just basically legalize counterfeiting by just printing money, thereby reducing the value thereof, and financing really irresponsible behavior of the politicians in these various states. Instead of saying, you know, get your house in order. If you're bankrupt or near bankruptcy, you can't pay your teachers, then maybe you're paying, for example, your bureaucrats, the people who work in the state, too much, since it's now a pretty well-known figure out there that public employees make twice as much as the average private employee does out there now. There's something really, really, really wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Something extremely wrong with that. And again, but, you know, I guess it doesn't matter anymore. States are meaningless. The federal government holds over, it subsidizes failure, and it punishes independence by holding federal funds over the state's nose or whatever and saying either you have to pass seatbelt laws or speed limit laws or whatever it is, or you don't get this federal money, which was the citizens' money in the first place that got taken by taxes or, again, by just inflating the currency. So it's, again, folks, it's time for a peaceful revolution. It's time we throw all these bums out of office that don't seem to care about a really true moral value system in this country, and a system that wouldn't punish irresponsible behavior as the federal government does now. Well, that's the one stupid regulation of the week I wanted to talk about. The other one, I haven't addressed this one yet, and this, of course, is hot on the cable shows. And that's the situation in New York about this new this mosque
yes.
going up. And, you know, I do understand people's concerns about this, but this is the United States of America. And in the United States of America, we're supposed to believe in property rights.
Mm-hmm.
And if one entity, corporation, or individual, or partnership wants to sell to another entity, or church, or individual, or partnership, in America, folks, they should have the right to do that. And it shouldn't matter who it is buying or selling. This is America, after all. People will, you know, point out, oh, there's Islamic fascism, Islamic fundamentalists, and terrorism and all that. Not everyone who's a member of the Islamic faith is a terrorist, number one. And a lot of people consider Islam a very peaceful religion of peace. I understand there are radical elements that are not like that. But to condemn a whole group of people because of the action of some minority amount of people, again, that's un-American. It seems to me that we've lost this battle to the terrorists if we succumb to their type of tactics and take away the fundamental principles upon which this country was founded, which include true property rights. If we take that away and say, well, you can't build here because we don't like your religion, we don't like religion around ground zero, whatever. Ground zero or not, it should not matter. Those people don't necessarily represent the terrorists in the first place. In the second place, again, this is America. You've destroyed America by trying to save it, is my point. You destroy America by trying to save it by taking away the rights that make America, America. So those of you who emotionally react against having this mosque built, I think you're really on the wrong tack. Now, if it turns out that the mosque is built and you can prove terrorist activity happening, being planned or whatever, then appropriate actions should be taken.
But on the same lines of thinking, if this is America, the majority rules. The majority of people said no mosque. Hey, no
majority
mosque.
Doesn't rule. That's the point.
See, that's where we get into the problem of are we free people or not?
Yeah, we're not. Democracy is not okay. Now, democracy in the strict sense is not what America was founded on. It was founded on as a constitutional republic, mm-hmm. which protects individual rights, which includes property rights. And the Constitution and the Bill of Rights were formed and passed to ensure that those rights exist for everyone at all times. Those rights of property rights. Majority does not rule in a free country. In a free land, that's only if you think in terms of collective. If you think in terms of individual rights, it's not freedom just because a majority votes out. If that was true, then a majority could vote to steal your property at any time, vote to kill you at any time. That's why we have a constitution, to prohibit that.
Well, let me ask you this. How many neo-Nazis live in Cabrini Green?
I don't know.
How many skinhead KKK Klan members live downtown Chicago in Cabrini Green, where it's predominantly a black neighborhood? None. So how many mosques?
But there's no law. There's no law.
Of course there's no law,
that.
But it's the people's law. It's the mob rules, is it not?
I'm not sure if I follow you.
They want to build a mosque downtown New York.
Right.
People in downtown New York say no mosque. If I were the people wanting to build a mosque, I would reconsider my thoughts of doing that.
Well, you might want to reconsider. You might want to think it's maybe it doesn't make sense. But I'm just saying, as far as the law is concerned.
Yeah, that's the staple that they're holding true to. Well, the law says I can do this. Well, do so, but do it at your own risk. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be problems only because you want to make a mockery of the United States government. You want to make a mockery of the system.
I'm not sure if that's what they're doing or not. Maybe they're not. Maybe it would be making a mockery of our system if we prohibit them from purchasing.
Well, I think they're trying to push that envelope, and I think there's going to be serious consequences for it on both sides.
There might. I don't know. There might, and that would be a sad day in America.
But
if we prohibit that, to me, that is the end of America. That is the end of property rights. It's not an easy situation.
Mm-mm.
But it seems to me you don't win by taking away the fundamental principles you believe in. I mean, America was founded on, and what our founding fathers believed in and bestowed upon us, which was this singular attempt to really hold in esteem the rights of the individual versus the mob, versus mob rule.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, Thomas Paine called democracy the most vile form of government. Because that is pure democracy is mob rule, and just because a majority of people would want someone to live in a certain property, that doesn't mean they should have the right to tell them to stop. Again, you can argue that maybe these people should reconsider just by the practicalities of the situation, but they shouldn't be forced. I'm just saying they should not be forced by law to stop to build.
No, they should be forced by law, but they should still be taking into consideration what the people want.
Yeah, well, you say the people. That's not all the people. I mean, I'm sure there's some people that would say that's fine. You say the people mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a majority. I don't know what. Maybe it's a vocal minority that don't want to. I don't know. I don't know. There hasn't been a referendum on it. And usually the vocal minority, sometimes prevails. But who knows? Maybe New Yorkers are more open and really are more open-minded than we might think if there was really a vote taken. I don't know. I don't know if there's any polls on that. Anyway, we do have to move on. We're going to have a guest today, and it's my good friend Tim Wingate. He's going to talk about deism, and we will do that after we break for a few messages.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Are you politically homeless? Have you had enough of the corruption coming out of Springfield? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Are you a moderate whose party is leaving you and your family behind? Well, then America's most successful third party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Libertarian Party of Illinois is working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Find out how you can help make the 21st century a time of liberty for all. Visit www.lpillinois.org or call 1-800-735-1776. That's 1-800-735-1776.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. I'd like to welcome back to the show my good friend Tim Wingate. Tim, how you doing?
I'm well. How about you, Ken?
I'm doing fine. You're getting involved in this, I don't know, or in the forming, or just with this deism group.
Well, actually, it's been going on for some time.
Okay.
Actually, a guy by the name of Bob Johnson, which actually is kind of funny. He and I actually attended back in the 70s the same Jesus freak type of church in Mount Prospect where I
really
met my wife. Yeah, we never went at the same time, but we went to this. He had quit, I guess about 6 months before I started attending, and that's where I eventually met Katie. And we connected later on, pretty much this year, we found out we had some similar experiences, and we had former friends in common.
Wow.
As far as that goes. Yeah, it was a little place that was called, we laughingly joke about it, because it was called the Redemption Center, and was the name of the place. And, of course, we used to get teased about it. Is that where you redeem your coupons?
Yeah, right.
But anyway, Bob started...
Coupons for Jesus.
Coupons for Jesus. There you go. He founded the World Union of Deists back in 1993.
Wow.
And started getting the organization up and going. He had gone through a similar transition in thought, a growth in thought, as I had been going through for years. I was more tenacious, I suppose, in a lot of ways. I really, really hung on hard to revelatory religion, I suppose we could call it. We call it revealed religion. I really hung on for a long time trying to reconcile all the inconsistencies, all the improbabilities, trying to justify them, hang on to them, and look at... it just came to the point, quite frankly, that after looking for truth and going forward for just tenaciously wanting to know what the truth is, I came to the conclusion that we really don't know what's going on out there. the best we can do is look at nature and look and see what nature reveals to us and make our conclusions from that, which basically is the scientific method, which, by the way, today is the August 16th is the anniversary of the death of Matthew Tyndall. And I'm not sure if anybody knows who he is. He died in 1733. But he's one of the people who basically started the Enlightenment. And he's one of the early authors, and he was a prominent deist in his time with his writings. And one of the things that Tyndall really argued against was against special revelation and the idea that here, Ken, let's just put it like this.
Ken, this is the Lord. I want you to sell everything and go to Africa.
Now you go home.
Sound effects and everything.
That. Yeah, that's right. You go home and you tell your wife that you heard a voice speaking to you like that, and it applies to her too.
Yeah, she'd say that's crazy. She'd say that's crazy talk. If and I were in India, I'd say no crazy talk. He's my cousin. He really loony.
Well, in effect, that's what the revealed religions, and you and Mike are having a great discussion about this mosque that
right.
wants to go up. Well, first of all, I've seen this stuff. It's an apartment building, or it's a business building. It's not even going to have spinnerets or whatever these minarets or whatever they call these things. You know, it's like somebody wanting to do a storefront church. In effect, is what it is, and I'm pretty darn sure from what I've read and heard, it's a big mixed neighborhood right there. So the people who live there aren't necessarily against this. It's everybody else from outside that's making a big deal about it. But the issue is, look at the controversy, and what is the controversy really about? And that is, our holy book is better than your holy book.
I honestly think for a lot of people that's what it is. I don't think it's my producer's Mike who thinks that way. But I
did not mean to imply that Mike thought that way. I'm just talking about the general argument, not you and Mike specifically. But the general argument comes down to something that's been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yes.
And that is, our prophet is better than your prophet.
Unfortunately, I think you're right. I think there's a lot of xenophobia out there in America, it's anybody who's different. That it's the same reason that Waco got firebombed, and
Waco got whacked.
Whacked. There you go.
Yeah. Well, it comes down to
because even though they were supposedly Christian, they were the weird Christians. They're the cult Christians. So we had to take care of that.
We see that happen all the time. You know, you have kind of a mainstream Christian mentality that everybody thinks is the way that it should be, and the people that believe differently, that are on the fringes, they end up getting attacked. And this happens in the Islamic world as well as in the Christian world. So basically, looking at all this, I came to the realization that I was a deist, and I decided to come out of the closet about it. Basically,
well, you say that looking at nature, and deists would and any rational person would look at nature and try to try to answer some fundamental questions, which to me are unanswerable. I used to remember, even like from the fourth grade, staying up at nights and thinking about the whole idea of infinity.
Yeah.
How could infinity? How could things just keep on going on? It's got to end somewhere. But if it ends somewhere, what's beyond it? So it have to be infinity. But that concept goes, and then you can turn that back around to infinitesimal, and you can add time to that. Was there a beginning of time? What happened before that? Is there an end of time? What happens after that? And if you really think about that too long, you'd probably want to shoot yourself in the head, actually.
Well, it gets to be confusing. And so in the process, like I said, Bob Johnson started World Union of Deists. It's been going on for some time. And a little shameless plug here, deism.com has got more than enough information for anybody who'd like to learn about what deism is all about. We have free publications you can sign up for as far as an email. You'd get these on a monthly basis, plenty of information for folks. There's lots of books. There's, as I said, the website would speak for itself with all the information that's available. Mm-hmm. And so deism.com is the place to go to understand what deism is all about.
With my explanation, that's kind of where I came into it, is that there's got to be something of a greater force than we'll ever know that is a first cause, if you will.
Yeah, and that's always been the argument. We don't know what that first cause is.
No.
And there are those who argue that, well, this is just the nature of the physics of the universe.
But that always begs the question if you just leave it there.
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah, and my thought has always been I always figured that, consider that there, millions and billions of years we're told that this planet's been here.
Carl Sagan would say billions and billions.
Yeah, billions and billions, as he would say. Yep. You look at it, and even now, we've got this whole big thing on the genetic research project, and everything's going back and saying mankind as we know him is maybe only 100,000 years old. Well, wow, gee, I thought it was millions of years of evolutionary process by random chance that beneficial mutations occurred that allowed us to be who we are today. And if that's the case, millions and millions and billions of years, I always thought it was the height of hubris to assume that we're the only sentient entity mm-hmm. that has ever existed.
Mm-hmm.
If there's all that, this is why deism is really about freedom, and about individuality and the freedom of the individual, because you do not have to subscribe to somebody else's revelation of how you should live your life, what food you can eat, how you wear your hair, how you have sex, what you read, what you enjoy, what you do. That's freedom.
Yes.
The freedom to just be yourself. Now, you were talking earlier about, the stupid regulations of the week and government jumping in. This is another problem. Most revelatory religions where some great seer or prophet or somebody, got some special words in his head from something beyond, most of these are hierarchical. Most of these organizations do not actually promote freedom. And I know I got a lot of people who get upset, but I have to, being that I was a Christian minister for a while, being that I did study the Bible intensely, went back to original languages, got into maybe even some esoteric study of the Bible, I got into this, but throughout the whole process of studying and being involved in Christianity, I finally had to realize that ultimately it's antithetical to liberty and freedom.
Now, there are some Christian libertarians who'd argue that if you're a Christian, you must be a libertarian, that Jesus, in fact, was a libertarian.
Yeah, and, on what basis would they argue that? See, how do they know what Jesus thought? How do they know what Jesus said? See, because ultimately the issue comes down to is the credibility of the ancient documents. And nobody can
they're basing it on the Bible being the revealed truth.
Right,
obviously.
Right. But even if you look at the Bible as being the revealed truth, and most Christian confessions, concords, whatever agreements and beliefs and creeds that they recite, they're basically theistic monarchists. They believe in the kingship of God over man.
Yes. Yep.
And then if God is king over man, then he has his deputies to whom he informs how he's supposed to administer his kingdom. And that's where you get the revealed religion in. So ultimately,
so-called revealed truth of the Bible, Jesus was not one who followed the rabbis of his time.
Oh, that's true. And that's part of the understanding and the argument people have about the historical Jesus, but even then, the historical Jesus is questionable. But see, the thing is, I don't really, it is not about trashing anybody's religion.
Right.
See, I'm not, I can argue, I usually, quite honestly, I've gotten to the point now that I avoid arguing theology with people. But if they really, really push me, and really, really want to do it, then I only have one caveat, and that is offer me documented proof that your holy writings is an accurate translation faithful to the original manuscript written by the author whose name it bears, and I'll gladly then discuss the merits, the hermeneutics, and exegetic theology based on that true and sound proof.
And then the Nicene, is it the Nicene?
Nicene Creed.
Creed, mm-hmm. and conference. And how was that? Was it political, or was that a revealed thing of which apostles got to give their
well, in other words, which books in 325?
Which books got to be chosen as part of the Bible, yeah. Which not? And why did Mary Magdalene get knocked out, for example?
Yeah, and then we have that discover the Nag Hammurabi library of Gnostic books and texts, mm-hmm. which have, of course, been making a big headway ever since Dan Brown,
right?
You know, started to write his fictional stories about these things, and you've got other guys who have written very similar types of books based on these alternate histories, and it gets to the point where, well, yeah, you can believe what you want to believe, and that's perfectly fine as long as it doesn't hurt me or hurt anybody else. I'm not against religion. I mean, quite frankly, Christianity offers some wonderful ideas. You know, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's repeated in most revealed religions in some capacity. It's there. The idea of, you know, live and let live, even turning the other cheek or going the extra mile, or somebody demands your coat, give them your shirt too. You know, there's something to be said for a reaching out in love and concern for your fellow man. But there's also the point where you draw the line and say, yeah, okay, well, I've turned the other cheek, but, you know, I'll even turn all four of them, but that's it. I run out of cheeks.
We're talking with Tim Wingate, and we're talking deism. We'd like to open up the lines to those of all of you like to also get into this discussion at 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. Give us a call, and we will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, talking with Tim Wingate and Deism, and website is deism.com, is that right?
That's right, deism.com. There's plenty of information on there, and I really I need to just a little plug, and that is Bob's got two books, and he just finished an excellent book, and that's an answer to C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. And Mere Christianity has been a book that, well, it was in Bible school. I remember having it assigned for reading in Bible school. It's considered to be a fairly decent apologetic for Christianity.
Yeah,
and Bob
yes.
really does a marvelous job in that. He literally takes it paragraph by paragraph, concept by concept, and shows what's wrong or what's right with what C.S. Lewis had said. And ultimately we end up realizing that C.S. Lewis was not really right on point in a lot of the issues. It's an excellent, excellent book. It's brand new. It's out there. You can check it on Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com. You can do that. And he also has a book, which is, we kind of call it an introductory, if you will, to deism. It's a revolution in religion, a revolution in you. It's all about deism, where it came from, how it happened, about the founding fathers, how some of them, many of them, actually were deists in their life and their practice, not necessarily maybe in their denominational affiliation, but if you take a look, a lot of them were Unitarians, and Unitarians, for all practical purposes, are Christian deists.
Yes, and some not Christian deists. Unitarians, yeah. You don't have to be a Christian to be Unitarian, that's for sure.
That's right, that's right. So, you know, you're still dealing with the same concept that there may or may not be a supreme being that got this all started, but we're not sure that he's necessarily told somebody special to tell everybody else on how to live their lives.
Right, yeah, and he doesn't have that big computer in the sky deciding who lives and who dies and who steals and who doesn't. Okay, what do you say we go to the phones?
Oh, fine.
All right. First, we have Matthew. Matthew, how you doing?
Hi, gentlemen. I would like to dispute a little bit the historicity of the New Testament and of the Old Testament. I think they're completely verifiable and authentic. And if you let me try to persuade you a little bit.
Sure. Go ahead.
Kind of know the date of the signing of documents of the founding of the government, like some, I can't remember exactly how it works, but July 4th, 1776, and we know that. That's, nobody's disputing that, right?
Pardon me? That the July 4th was the day they signed the Declaration of Independence? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, within a
well,
day
we all,
or two.
We, well, most of us who studied history know that that's not accurate.
Tell me about this, then.
Well, no, you wanted to talk to me about the proving the historicity of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let's talk about that.
Well, I mean, do we have to go up to Abraham Lincoln? I mean, was he a real person? What are you saying, that that nothing happened in 1776? I don't get it.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
I didn't say that, but we know historically there were only a few signatures on July 4th, and it was spread out over a period of weeks before everybody managed
to... I'm not going to dispute that, but I'm just going to dispute that, or just going to suggest that there's certain things that are historically verifiable, and we know things historically in a certain manner.
Okay, well, go pursue that. Matthew, let's not get hung up on the...
I was trying to get some stipulation about something happened in 1776.
Yeah, but we don't have 2 hours to do that.
We're talking about truth and accuracy, and you want to prove to us that the Old Testament and the New Testament are accurately translated from the original documents in present day.
Yeah, but I mean... You're being kind of silly if you can't stipulate something about 1776 and then work from there. Do we got to go to Abraham Lincoln? Do we got to go to Janet Kennedy?
You know why? It doesn't make any difference, because 1776 and whether or not the Declaration of Independence was signed in like the picture that we see all the time of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, Trumbull's picture, we know that that was a fabrication. Anyone who studies American history knows that was a fabrication. It's a representative of the idea and of the people doing the signing, but anyone who studied the history knows that the Declaration was signed on July 4th by everybody.
If I can move things forward a little bit, I think Tim and I would both stipulate that the Declaration of Independence was signed somewhere around that time, and that indeed there was a Declaration of Independence, indeed there was a Revolutionary War, indeed there was a Lincoln. Can we get beyond that, Matthew, and go back to the Old and New Testament?
I'm trying to get a stipulation. I haven't got it. I'm hearing a lot of argument about the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Well, what kind of stipulation do you want, Matthew? Here, why don't you just offer a stipulation?
Well, you're not giving it to me.
What do you want? No, we're asking what you want.
That shows how
we just wasted 5 minutes here, Matthew. You're a first-time caller. I want to give you a lot of leeway.
But it shows how silly your arguments against Christianity are.
Matthew, you have not offered an argument in favor of your proposition
I guess it's abundantly clear what we're dealing with here.
No, you're playing games, Matthew. You're playing games. You were playing games when you tried to talk about Lincoln and the Declaration of Independence.
No,
please just make your case, and I want to hear it. I would like to believe. Make your case of how the viability, the truth of the Old and New Testament.
Well,
I'll give you a minute to make your case.
If you can't stipulate about 1776.
Oh, all right. All right. I'm sorry. Oh, let's move on.
Can I say a few words on Matthew's defense? And now this is just my assumption here. Let's go to the future 2,000 years and say the year is 2976. Can you tell me in the year 2976 that the Declaration of Independence actually took place, or is that going to be something that's going to be debatable 2,000 years from now?
I understand his point, but he's not willing to get beyond it. We don't have time to play those games for 2 hours.
I'm just trying to look for some sort of cohesion to what's going on.
Let's move on to Jeff.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Jeff.
I'm not going to get into it like this. That's just over my head right now. So, But I was going to say, you know, why do you guys have a discussion in the first place? I look at things like this. You know, I'm a Christian. I believe in what I want to believe. If he wants to believe in what he wants to believe, that's fine. If you want to believe in what you want to believe in, that's fine. To me, the hard part is when people get into my face and tell me, no, that's wrong. Believe in this. Well, how do you know that's wrong? How do you know it's right? What, you know, why do people have to get into, like, for instance, the Muslim situation in New York? I could care less. If the Muslims want to be there, fine. If they don't want to be there, fine. But
if we find out
in the long run they're doing, dastardly deeds in there, they're recruiting somebody or something, that's a different story, because we all know the Middle East is always going to be the Middle East. It's never going to change until we get off that whole centric thing, because that's what it's all about.
Well, Jeff,
Fine.
you really,
Catholic,
Jeff,
See, you can't
Jeff,
what?
You have really touched on the heart of the issue, and I thank you for that, because it really does come down to individual reality, individual perception. I'm not interested in trying to convince somebody not to be a Christian. But like you said, I don't want somebody getting in my face. The problem is that Christianity, Muslim, or Islam, Hinduism, any revealed religion tends to take on an authoritarian attitude when its fundamentalists start to take over that religion's viewpoint. And that's really the problem here. It's not, I don't have a problem with peaceful Christians, peaceful Islamists, peaceful Hindus. I don't have a problem at all. It's those fundamentalists within Christianity, within Islam, within Hinduism, and any other ism that you even deism, I suppose, you could get some militants, although I think they'd be a contradiction in terms. But that's the problem. We're about freedom and individual thought and the ability to live peacefully with your neighbors and to live your life without somebody threatening to kill you if you don't do it their way.
Well, I'll bring another wrench in here. The other thing is, it seems like every time you turn around, somebody wants to, you can't say anything, you can't do anything anymore for fear of being a racist or some other thing. And it's not the freedom of the speech of this country used to hold up anymore. It's because you're being told that you can't, you're to be seen and not heard. And that's just wrong. And it goes back to the same thing you're saying. Hey, if you want to believe what you want to believe, fine. But don't put it out in the press every day and tell people this is the way it was. In actuality, you don't know because you weren't there 200, 300 years ago or 1,000 years ago, and neither does anybody else. Do we know if the Bible's right or wrong? We don't know because none of us was there. I mean, if you want to believe in God, fine. I choose to believe in God, okay, in my religion. So be it. But don't tell me this is the right way. And this is where the big hang-up with the Muslim thing is. Everybody right now, unless you're a Muslim, believes that you're evil because you don't believe in this is the real actual way that God or Allah or whoever
But you got to understand, Jeff, there's not just one form of Islam. There's multiple forms of Islam. It's only been this radical fundamentalist version that has been growing lately, and they persecute other Muslims who don't agree with them. See, and the same thing that the Christians have done. Radical fundamentalist Christians are persecuting other Christians who don't believe the same way they do. The problem isn't necessarily the religion. It's the attitude that you do it our way or we'll kill you. And that's the issue. And that's the difference between why looking at revelatory, revealed religions is so important. Because we can argue about the Declaration of Independence. We can argue about whether or not Julius Caesar wrote what he wrote, whether Shakespeare wrote what he wrote. But Caesar and Shakespeare aren't threatening to kill me if I don't believe and act and live the way they say to live.
Exactly.
Whereas revealed religions ultimately end up coming to that point, or at least people who claim to be proffering their version of that.
And they all have done that, haven't they? We had the Christian Crusades.
Yeah. Well, we still have it going on.
I'm going to get off. You guys get some other people on there. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
As you pointed out, Tim, this is probably a good time to break in. We'll have a few minutes afterwards. So we're talking with Tim Wiggate. We're talking deism. This is Freedom Rings. We will be back after a few messages.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge.
This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Oh, I could listen to that all day. Hey, Tim, we just got a call from some guy from Huntley, some Mark from Huntley, who said something about if you keep on talking about religion, he's going to call and talk about Superman.
Yes. That's my brother. He's got this great rap. Is that if someone insists on talking to him about their religion, he'll say fine, but you have to listen to mine. And then he starts in on the story, the legend of Superman. He came from an alien planet, came to Earth.
Okay.
As a small child.
All right.
It's great because you listen to it. Well, why not? Why don't we have Superman religion? I've often thought maybe we should start a Santa Claus religion.
Well, he actually really existed. There's more historical fact, I think, from what I've read.
Saint Nicholas. Look at how he's been mythologized now turned into this. You know, I love it.
Well, that's actually kind of a good study and lesson in mythology is how the life has been expanded into mythology as it did with Saint Nicholas.
Well, there's we could get that's a whole other discussion. Joseph Campbell wrote a whole book on mythologies and archetypes in cultural history.
And by the way, I hope Matthew calls back and that doesn't try to catch us in some second grade trick.
It's circular argumentation. It's just a circular argument, and that's perfectly fine because that's usually what revealed religionists try to do. Yep. And it really comes down. I've put it this way, that you look at the revealed religions, and they all claim that they have this king. And what I point out is that it's been proven historically by the past and the numerous ongoing revealed religion wars on this planet that, you know, they believe their king is telling them to do these wars. And the only thing is that if it's the same king, or if we've got competing kings, you know, gods in the sky. Yeah.
Then we got world wars and long time.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Right. Tim, thank you so much again, buddy, for being on the program. I appreciate it.
Sure, yeah. And deism.com, folks.
All right. Very good. All right. This from Walter Williams. Politicians are worse than thieves. At least when thieves take your money, they don't expect you to thank them for it.